24/7 is a challenge no matter how smooth things roll, because it's relentless. Just in the hours of operation, right? We don't close, our lights don't turn off. Mm-hmm. And so I want to deliver the most amazing care ever for every patient who walks in our door.
And welcome to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I'm Stacy.
And I'm Kaylee.
And we're so happy that you're joining us again on this Wednesday or whenever you're listening to us. We've had a nice day today, and we are joined in the studio by a guest tonight that we're going to introduce here in just a moment. But before we do that, first things first.
Let me take a sip of what you're about to talk about.
We've switched back to the bubbly tonight. Mm.
Back to our roots. I was actually driving here so excited about champagne.
I know.
So excited.
I bought a shirt about champagne today. I bought champagne today.
And these really, really killer water bottles, because we do balance it.
We do. Yeah. Water during the day, Prosecco at night. So yep. We are drinking some Prosecco tonight. It's not local. Shame on us. I know. But when you see a bottle of Prosecco on sale at Target for $9.99, you don't pass by that. You grab it, you put it in your cart, and you get a move on. So that's what we're drinking tonight. It's Bravino Prosecco, product of Italy, apparently. And I don't know, it just tastes really good.
It's good.
So that's what we're going to go with tonight. Thanks for the suggestions on Facebook for what we should be drinking. Keep those up. Keep those coming, because we're going to stock up.
Yeah, we obviously have the same taste as our listeners, because a lot of the suggestions I have in my home, like, not ready for us.
Yeah, not so. In your wine cellar.
Not in my wine cellar, no.
Nothing stays around that long.
No.
They're on household.
They're on my counter waiting to be popped. So, next week.
So, here's why we're drinking Prosecco tonight. We have a guest, and we left it up to her to choose as well. We had a couple of variations, and she said Prosecco is what it is. And that's when we knew we loved her. Mm-hmm. So, we are talking tonight to Miss Sarah Pedorowski. Hey there.
Hi there.
How are you?
Awesome.
Good. How's the Prosecco?
It's delicious.
Good. Well, keep drinking, and we'll keep talking. So, let's talk a little bit about who Sarah is. She's a childhood friend of mine, actually, mm-hmm. And we grew up together, and some of my fondest memories are dancing in your living room and coming up with some routines and running for student council together. Sarah was student council president, by the way. Of course she was.
She's like, I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's
kind,
just...
I'm kind of a big deal. Okay. It's just kind you of are a big deal.
Foreshadowing. But then when Sarah left our fair town and went off to conquer other worlds, she went into the field of nursing. And now the reason why we have her tonight is because what started out as a career in nursing, she's now a big-time boss babe, and she's an executive director of nursing at a local area hospital. So we wanted to talk about the healthcare field tonight and talk to somebody who's crushing it in that field and talk about that journey. So you want to tell us a little bit about your story? Like, how'd it happen, right? You graduate from high school and you're like, I'm about to be a nurse.
I graduated from high school and I did not say I'm about to be a nurse. I said, I'm going to go study marketing. So I did. So I did. I took off and studied marketing. I was about a year away from finishing that degree and had like this divine intervention moment where I was like, I think I'm supposed to be a nurse. So I called my parents and I said just that. Hey, I think I got to transfer schools. I'm going to be a nurse. And my parents were like, who is this? Is this my older sister, Jenna? They were like, she's the nice one. What do you mean you want to be a nurse, Sarah? And I'm like, I don't know. I just think it's meant to be. So my dad was teaching at Lake Michigan College here, go Lakers. And he said, okay, you can transfer, but you got to move home. So I said, bags packed. And I took off and I entered nursing school at Lake Michigan College and finished in 2 years the associate degree program that's there. Became a nurse, took off for Grand Rapids and started out as an ICU nurse up there. and worked there, worked in Lansing, Michigan for a little while in an ICU, and then had my first daughter, Olivia. And the week after my mom visited and left, I said to my husband, you know what, we got to move where she is. Because we need help.
I need my mom.
Right?
Every woman knows that, right? You have your baby and you're like, shit, wait, I'm the mom now. I need my mom to help me be the mom.
That she came to visit for a week, and the day she left, I was like, oh, they left us alone with this baby. I'm not sure what to do. So we, 9 months later, moved back to Buchanan, which is where my parents were. They're near here, and my husband's parents. And I started working in a local area hospital, again in the ICU. I was there for a little while before I decided to finish my bachelor's in business. So I finished my bachelor's in business, moved into the leadership side of healthcare after having been a nurse for about 9 years. And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to get more education. I wanted to get my MBA because I had already gotten my business degree. And the hospital said, that's super awesome. We're going to want you to get a master's of nursing. And I was like, well, that's super awesome, kind of. Not really. But I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do both at once. And so I went back to school.
Look at you.
And I got my MBA and my MSN. And just about, I want to say maybe a year before graduating with those degrees, I had the opportunity to move into an executive role. And so did that. And here we are.
Yeah. So, she just threw that out there like I was.
Whatever I can say it that way. But so, yeah, 4 degrees in. Still having fun. Love healthcare. I love, love, love nurse desire to like do a really great job. And so every day is not easy. I don't love every second of every day, but every second, at least 1 second of every day I had. But I've got, 1,100 associates that work on my team. Their day will inevitably be much tougher than mine because we lead a group of people who do nothing but serve others. And so as leaders, you know, we need to be role models. We need to be the foot out the door
for a second. Right. Because we started with you're going to go into marketing. Mm-hmm. And then you said you had this moment. So what is
early by like the traditional, you know, 4 year situation. And I was visiting somebody I had worked for. They had a baby in the NICU. I'd never been in a hospital a day in my life. Never. You know, and in the NICU, you got to take off your jewelry, you got to scrub down to see these little babies. And I was standing next to this crib with this, like, probably 2-pound infant. And this was not the moment where I thought, oh, I gotta do this. I was like, I gotta get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, this is crazy. So I did, I bolted out of there. I'm like, you know what? Call me if you need me. Gotta go. Took off out of there. And I'm literally like running to find my car. Because I wanted to get out of the hospital so bad. And I turned a corner really quickly and I ran into somebody in a wheelchair, like a nurse person, somebody in a wheelchair. Like literally my feet hit their feet. And I look up and there's a sign kind of hanging from the ceiling that says burn center. And this person was wrapped head to toe in bandages. So all I could see were their eyes. I have no idea, man or woman. We locked eyes, covered in chills, ran to my car, started crying and was like, I got to be a nurse. It was the craziest thing. I know. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
I have chills.
No,
right now.
I'm totally looking crazy. At you like that's so – because I am still trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to do with the rest of my life. Like I'm having fun right now. Right? But like, you know, like what do I want to be when I grow up? I don't know. I'm almost envious that you had such a moment of clarity.
It was crazy. I mean, like I said, I hope I always remember it because it was so sound. And I'm thankful. I come from a super spiritual family. My mom is a priest. So when I made the call home and after they got over the initial shock of like nursing, like we're helping you, you know, we're paying for this marketing degree. What are you talking about? I was able to appeal to the spiritual side and be like, but mom, I feel called to be a nurse. So she was like, okay, I get it. You know, come home, we'll do it. So, yeah. And I knew, you know, even in nursing school, because nursing school is crazy hard and competitive. I knew even as I moved through like clinical rotations in school that I would finish my business degree, that it was really clear to me I needed to be a great nurse so I could take great care of nurses when I made it back to the business side of life. So, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of clarity moving forward. And I think the benefit of having that clarity moving forward is it allows you to have that 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan, and then all the steps that you're making, you're heading right there. So that's probably why you've been able to kind of shoot up the ranks so quickly because of that clarity of purpose.
Mm-hmm. When I talk about like the last even just 5 years of my career and I say it out loud, I'm like, dang, wow, I've been really getting it for the last couple of years. Like, it's just been really fast track. I've been lucky to be afforded a lot of great opportunities and then was kind of able to knock it out of the park in some of those. And so, opportunities kept coming my way. But I am a person who is really linear with goals. Like, here's where I am now. Here's where I'm going to be in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I work backwards into, like, what do I need to do in those 3 years to make sure that I'm solid on that when it comes. So it just always worked that way. There was a point I had just had my second little one. So I had a two-year-old. I had a newborn. And I was working in the ICU. It's shift work, so you work 12 hours. I was working what we call weekends. So I worked every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 12-hour shifts. And then I was home during the week with my babies. And I had, how everybody has, like, their best friend at work, your bestie. So my bestie at work was shot and killed in the Tinley Park shootings at the Lane Bryant store there. So what is now 10 years ago. And so it was kind of defining for me. So it was that in that aftermath that my parents and my husband were really like, okay, you got to get back to what were your original goals. And that's when I went back to finish my bachelor's in business initially. It was kind of like a wake-up call of like, gosh, we all only have so much time. Mm-hmm. There's so much I want to do. So I got to start to work on getting there. And of course, like everybody else, initially I'm like, I can't go back to school. I got two babies. I'm working 12 hours. My husband works out of town. Like, there's no way. And then my parents and Jason, my husband, were basically like, no, you can. So get it together. And what do we need to do to make this mm-hmm. happen? So
yeah, well,
then I did.
Well, obviously, and it's very important to have a support group, but you're the one that's hustling to get all that stuff mm-hmm. done, because it's not like you took time off from work.
No.
Or took time off. You can't take time off from two baby girls.
Right.
And, if you want to get one degree, fine. But if you want to get two, that's going to be a little bit of a hustle. So how did you manage that?
It's so interesting because looking back, I'm just not quite sure. There's moments where I'm like, how did I do that? Like, dang. That's a lot. I will say it takes a village, that never stops. It takes a village to be an adult some days, I feel mm-hmm. like, right?
Yes,
I mean, it's hard. It's hard stuff, this adulting business. I have, like, the most amazing parents in the world, and I'm married into the most amazing in-laws ever, and they're our neighbors. And so they're super-duper helpful with the kids. Then I have a husband who's like, yeah, try that crazy idea. Like, yeah, go do that. Yeah, make that happen. And he's super hands-on with the kids. And so during grad school, especially, I was the mom who missed practices and who sat at the softball field on her laptop, or during swim lessons was reading her textbooks and stuff, and got questions from my kids like, how come nobody else's mom is on their computer at swim lessons? And I would be like, well, because their moms aren't in grad school. So they don't have shit to read tonight,
right. Moms ain't hustling tonight,
yeah,
honey.
That's right. I mean, I'm just always really open with my kids. And so I would say, like, no, mom's not going to go to softball practice tonight, but I'm going to be at the game on Saturday.
Right.
So they totally got it. I will say when the day I graduated with those two degrees, it was like everybody in the family graduated. My dad could stop tutoring me in statistics. my in-laws could stop taking the kids everywhere for most days. So, I mean, it really did take a village. But I didn't take time off. When I did that first bachelor's, I was working three 12-hour shifts, so I had days off during the week. When I did the two graduate degrees, I was working 50, 60 hours a week as a leader of large inpatient departments at the hospital, so 24/7 type call environments, and just did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people that the more you have, the better you do the mm-hmm. stuff you have.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We can totally.
You guys know that. You
we
get
can
that.
Relate.
Yeah. I like to be busy. Busy. Mm-hmm. Is where it's at.
Busy is where it's at. Busy is good. Busy is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
If I have too much time, I would go crazy.
Mm-hmm. I am most productive when I have a full plate mm-hmm. or I have a deadline. Like, mm-hmm. I work very well under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I find I can be borderline lazy when I don't have a lot
right.
to do. It's
yep.
very mm-hmm. strange.
Yeah, I definitely, and I think a lot of nurses live this way. The more I have to do, the more I get done.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very unsettling feeling when you don't have 20 things on your to-do list.
Yeah.
Right.
I find.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't know what that's like.
No.
Like you guys, I mean, that list is like always
yeah.
rolling.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would rather have 20 things than not know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I like
so,
it.
Having a family, getting a bachelor's and then two mm-hmm. masters, there I would imagine were days where you questioned or doubted or were like, why am I doing this to myself? What pushed you through?
There were lots of days like that. I mean,
for as much success as I have, there was probably a ton of days where it was like, what am I even doing? I would say that kind of the catalyst of going back to school being one of, you know, my best friend passing away, she had kids that were really young. And her youngest is the same age as my youngest. We were pregnant together. Mm-hmm. The kids Aww. Have the same initials. I mean, and so I look at my little one and I think to myself, I'm lucky that that wasn't me. They know their mama. You know, mm-hmm. she, my little Alex, she knows me. And what would she say about me if she didn't, if mm-hmm. I wasn't here? And I thought that a lot about my friend Jenny's kids. You know, what are they going to remember about her now that she's not here? Because her baby was 9 months when she passed away. So, you know, those memories are just what we feed that little one. So I want my kids to remember that their mom was a badass mm-hmm. and that she, you know, could had goals. She hit them. She worked hard. She set new goals. Mm-hmm. I want my girls to be badasses. Mm-hmm. You know, I have two little girls and I want them to do whatever they want to do. Whatever goal they set, I want them to feel like they can get after it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that kept me going most days in that I decided when she passed away that, you know, like every other new mom, most days I didn't know what I was doing, but I did decide that day what I did know I was going to do was be like this super great role model. So I'm really candid. I have really candid conversations with my girls about anything they ask me. And I'm that same way professionally with my team. They know if they ask me a question publicly, they need to brace themselves for the public response because it's a coming. I say, if you bring it to me publicly, I'll bring it back. But because I live so, like, I mean, I love my people fiercely. They know that. So the candidness yes. is really well received. Same thing for my girls. So I would say what pushed me through the working full time, family, husband, kids, school is that I wanted to be a really great role model mm-hmm. for them.
Do you think the candidness in your field is abnormal?
Yep.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's. I don't know if it's abnormal just in healthcare or if it's like a misnomer with leadership, especially leadership who has large spans of control, that they think there's always something you're not letting them know.
Mm-hmm.
Or people are afraid to hurt other people's feelings with candid transparency and feedback. And, you know, I feel like withholding things from people is going to hurt their feelings. You know, they can't move forward or move on or fix whatever it is if you don't let them know. And so I'm super candid. Super candid, you know, and somebody, one of my favorite memories as a very new leader was I told my people I'm candid. So I'm not telling you to be careful. I'm telling you to be ready. And she was super nasty in front of a bunch of people, just a bad attitude. And so she kind of verbal garbaged at me in front of a bunch of people and then was like, are you going to fix that any day now? And I said, what I am going to fix is your attitude because you'll either never do that again or you don't work here anymore. Like, go away.
Right.
And she was like, oh, well, you know me. I didn't mean it. I said, I do know you. You did mean it. And don't ever bring it again.
Right.
And the whole staff was like, ugh. I'm like, does anybody else have any questions?
Oh, I'm kind of intimidated right now.
I know. Like,
you know, and
I do wow. not have any more questions.
No. No.
The whole staff was like, nope, I'm busy. Got work to do. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, when I circled back around with them, I was just like, hey, you've all been thinking that about her for a year. Right.
Right.
And nobody had the balls to tell her.
Mm-hmm.
So, hi, like, I'm Sarah. I'm new to town. And, like, that's not how we're going to roll. This is healthcare. We're super nice to people. And that means each other. So I don't think that candidness is kind of the abnormal in healthcare. I think in leadership in general because people don't expect it. And I feel like we should. It's common courtesy. We're
yes.
leaders. We're kind of the helm of most information. We got to listen to it from the bottom up, and we got to translate it from the top down. And I feel like the only way to do that is with loving, compassionate candidness. I remind them that it comes from a place of love.
It does. Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about the best teachers, the best coaches you had, right?
Yes.
They could get on your ass, mm-hmm. chew you out, and then pick you up, give you a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Dust you mm-hmm. off and send you back out on the field, and you loved them.
You loved them. And I don't think any of my people would describe it as like chewing them out, like mm-hmm. our best coaches in high school, but they would say, if you want a straight answer, I'm asking Sarah P.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. that's good. I mean, we talked last week about building your brand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's your brand.
Ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
I know, right?
Oh.
I was just thinking that because that resonated with me mm-hmm. too.
Wow.
So I just, it's so funny because that podcast totally,
yeah, you're right.
It just landed yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
one?
Yeah.
yeah. So I was listening to it on my way to work. I actually teach a personal branding course to new nurses, new, young, beautiful millennial nurses.
You are what everyone knows and what everyone thinks.
Right, that does not surprise me that you would teach that class at all.
It's like, you need to be careful. I Google everyone before I hire them, and I've canceled interviews because your Facebook page was awful.
Yes. Thank you.
Do you remember MySpace from back in the day?
Yes, unfortunately, I do.
It still pulls up on the internet.
Mm.
Aw.
Gosh.
Ugh. God.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, it's like...
You poor, unfortunate child growing up in MySpace. I mean, I do feel bad for him. Because I didn't have a MySpace. Like, we were a little bit older for MySpace. So luckily, I came into the Facebook age, like, late 20s.
We had MySpace in college, or right after college, I remember. But yeah, thank God we didn't have social media when we were young. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
So I almost feel bad, part of me does, you know, about kids that are out there who... This is what they grew up with. And so they don't necessarily have the forethought, because we didn't have the forethought.
We wouldn't have known. No.
But then I don't, because these kids, they know what they're doing. They're just choosing not to. Do you know what a Finsta is?
I do
not.
No.
Okay, tell.
It's a fake Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I do know that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was called that.
I didn't know it was called that, but I do know that.
It is.
I do know about spam accounts.
Yes.
I know about that, too. I have a 13-year-old. She keeps me hip to some of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, these Finstas are the fake Instagrams that's what kids will link to their parents. Because then, oh, look, Mom, I'm doing all these great things. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing bad things. And then there's the real one somewhere else.
It's scary.
For the record, I would have totally had a Finsta.
I would have. We would have been smart enough for that. We would have.
My Finsta would have had so many followers. I mean, I wouldn't have one now. I'm just saying, back in the day,
right?
I had a Finsta.
It is. Social media is so interesting. Nobody's telling these people, like, no. I know you don't care about when you're in your 20s.
But you should.
You will someday.
Care. Yeah. You're going to care. It's scary not only as somebody who, and I'm not a hiring manager anymore, but with 1,100 people in my crew and, you know, in my tribe, it's like we have to be protective of what's ours. Mm-hmm. Like you guys said, I totally agree with you in that, like, I am my organization. Mm-hmm. My organization is me. I only will work for somebody I can align with their mission, vision, and values. And they hopefully feel that same alignment with me. And it's like, if you could just tell that young 18-year-old one day, nobody's going to align with your Finsta.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work.
Yes.
Yes.
It's scary not only on that side, but also as a mom of teenagers. It just is terrifying to me.
But that's – so when you were talking about your friend that passed away, that was actually what spoke to me, because it turned our question on what do people say about you when you're not in the room to – what do people say about you when you are literally not here anymore? Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, I don't say that in a joking way at all. Like that kind of, I don't know, that really like resonates with me. It's like, you're talking about your legacy. Like what legacy are you leaving?
Right. And I think I try to get people to think about that even as they transition in and out of roles and jobs, because I'm trying to embrace the fact that if I can keep a millennial in a nursing job for 3 years, I have scored, because they're going to move every 3 to 5 years. I mean, I have moved every 3 to 5 years in my career, not organizations, but in roles. And so I try to embrace that with them. But I tell them, so while you're with us for 3 years, what can I do to get the very best out of you every day you come in? And what can you do so that when you exit, your legacy is still here in a really great way?
Yeah. You because know? maybe they come back around in a different position. I'm sure that happens
maybe in
often.
10 years they're Sarah P. You know, you just never know. And so I just want to get the very best out of them while they're with us and help them transition into something great next, because it's going to happen. They're going to, they're movers and shakers, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a small world.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that, you know, in healthcare, everyone's connected to everyone.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's definitely the same for our industry.
Yep.
Like what state you're in does not matter. Odds that I know somebody that knows somebody that knows your boss, fairly decent.
Right.
You know, so you just want to, for your own protection, don't burn a bridge.
Absolutely.
Like, seriously.
Well, don't burn bridges. That's part of being a professional. And that's
what's
going to separate those who should be leaders and those who shouldn't.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. So I think that the people who understand that, those are going to be the Sarah piece.
Right.
So, yeah, that's some good stuff. So tell us about your role right now. What do you do?
I like to say that I break down barriers for whatever the frontline staff needs. I try to be, you know,
the earpiece. So I try to be super approachable because the further away I get from the bedside, the harder it is to know exactly what the voice of the customer is, which that for me is patients. And then I think our nurses are customers because in a world of nursing shortages, they're my customers. So whatever I can do to be the greatest employer ever, I'll do it. So I am the link between what happens organizationally for us and what happens at the bedside and how do we move forward in the right way, right down the middle. So I am the voice of the nurse. I'm also the voice of the organization. And I try to be the voice of the patient. I round on them still. I get to see them in their rooms. And I spend lots of time with my nursing staff and my patient care assistant staff so that I hear the right issues bubble up. But I am like a barrier buster. And then my actual job is to be the visionary for where will we be in 5 to 10 years. And so then how do we concretely get to where that vision is?
But mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a 24/7 gig. I have, like I said, about 1,100 people in my tribe, about 24 different patient types when it comes to departments. That includes ERs and ICUs and psychiatry, inpatient psych, and stroke units and cardiovascular units and oncology units and medical units, surgical units. I mean, it's like unending, the list of people that I get to serve. So.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
So no day is the same. Fair
never,
statement.
Yeah, never.
Kind of gathered that.
Yeah, never. Whew. Never. It's influenza season right now, so it feels a little bit like Groundhog's Day, but there's a little twist on everything. So yeah, every single day is different and every weekend is different. And yeah.
So when you say it's a 24/7 job, what does that really mean?
Hospitals are open 24/7. So the product that I represent, which is patient care, is being delivered 24/7, 365. From a myriad of access points.
Mm-hmm. Are you accessible 24/7?
Yep. My job description tells you I am your person 24/7. So I'm available 24/7 to all my people. My direct reports are about in right under 10 as far as directors who work on my team, and then reporting up through them is about that 1,100 people at the hospital. So I'm available to all of them 24/7. They try really hard not to bother me, or it's not really even a bother because it's not that often, but they try not to contact me when they don't need to. But I'm officially the administrator on call for the hospital about every 5 weeks. So for the whole hospital 24/7. Mm-hmm. And then you do get calls because, you know, things happen in a hospital.
Well, in a large hospital. And
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuff happens. Yeah.
And it sounds like you have, obviously, you have a very dedicated support group at home.
I do.
You're allowed to
do that. I will say, I just was joking. I was on call last week and I got a call. It felt like 2:00 in the morning. I think it was probably was. And the phone went off. My husband's like, oh, I'm like, would you like to help them? Go back to sleep. Like, yeah, okay. I was like, that helped no one. he hates, like,
I'm sure he loves, like, your leadership talks.
He totally loves my pep talks, right? But I always give him the warning on Sunday, like, I pick up call tomorrow, it's gonna last for 7 days, and he'll be like, could you sleep on the couch? But yeah, I have a great tribe at home, so they know when I get exhausted. Like on Tuesday night of last week when I was on call, I went to bed at 7 because I was gonna get up at 2.
Sure.
So yeah
but
it works.
So what are some of, if you had to describe, what are your challenges in the position you're in right now?
24/7 is a challenge no matter how smooth things roll because it's relentless just in the hours of operation, right? We don't close, our lights don't turn off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to deliver the most amazing care ever for every patient who walks in our door. And so I take that really seriously. It doesn't necessarily keep me up at night. My 13-year-old and her wandering out into the world as a teenager, that keeps me up at night. And I have a tribe of people at work who are just as supportive as my tribe at home. But the 24/7 is relentless. And so I worry about nurses and patient care assistants and physicians and patients and things that need us all the time. So that's always going to be a challenge. I think the ever-evolving healthcare climate in the United States is a challenge. I work for a local area hospital, and we're a not-for-profit, and so we're a community hospital, and that is amazing and probably the only type of healthcare I want to dig into because it's the best. But it's hard. I mean, it doesn't take, you know, a scientist to know that healthcare from a political standpoint in our country right now is a tough gig.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're navigating that the very best we can, and we've got a great team of people that kind of steer us in the right direction, but it's tough. It's really hard, and I want to provide great things for patients regardless of what the climate is out there politically.
Yeah.
But it is
tough.
Well, the ground beneath you is ever shifting.
Ever. So, you know, technology, politics, patients themselves are sicker than they ever were. And so our acuity of people coming in the door is far sicker than they used to be. High deductible health care plans mean that people don't seek health care until they absolutely have to, which means they're really sick when they come to us.
Right.
So,
and so there, there's a lot of cases of people using the ER as their primary doctors.
There is. Mm-hmm. That does happen. That's mm-hmm. a true thing.
Yes. So what a challenge. And speaking of those nurses, I've had three babies. And I tell you what, those nurses are just angels mm-hmm. walking on this earth.
They're amazing.
They do all of it, and the doctor steps in for the last 10 minutes and gets the glory. But I'm telling you, like, the nurses,
they're amazing.
They're amazing. And then when the doctor leaves after you've had your baby, the nurses are there for the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling this sense of sadness every time. All three times I left the hospital mm-hmm. of missing my nurses when I got home, like thinking, wait, they're not gonna mm-hmm. come with me? Like, what's going on here? Just the job that they do is so crucial and so selfless.
Right? It's amazing. I'm telling you, these people are like amazing.
They are.
They are, and they get to be with people, you know, at the start of life, when people have babies, the end of life, when people pass away. They, you know, help people weather the storm of traumatic accidents and known disease processes and surprise disease processes. And we have the opportunity to walk with people at their very worst moment. Some people choose us, some people don't. And so it is such a unique opportunity for the nurse. And, you know, we're not always well received. You know, you can see splash sure. all over national media when a nurse is injured or, God forbid, something worse happens. And that's real every day, workplace violence and healthcare. And, you know, nurses are tried and true for the past many, many years, one of the most trusted professions. It's also now one of the most risky professions to be in. Infectious disease, workplace violence. You know, we have a lot of, and lots of hospitals do, trauma related to violent acts, shootings, stabbings, you know. You look at the school shootings that happen nationwide or in Vegas, God forbid, and those people flood a hospital. And so it brings with it a lot of people who are at a really high stress moment in their mm-hmm. life, and people don't always make great decisions in those moments. Sure. And so it's a risky spot to be in at the bedside. And so I always say nurses and everybody who supports patient care in a hospital, they are heroes. They're amazing.
Absolutely.
It's why as a leader, it's like, humbling. I'm like yeah. super honored because they do work that most people don't want to do.
They're doing the tough job every day with yeah. a smile on their face and making people feel better.
For 13 hours a shift. Yep.
I mean, that is
their
hustling. Job. Make people mm-hmm. feel better. That's yeah. your job.
Ready? Go.
Right.
Right.
So what do you tell those new nurses? Because you have 1,100 people under you. Mm-hmm. You also teach courses to nurses. So you talked about those millennial nurses coming in. Mm-hmm. What's your go-to speech to
pump them up? My go-to speech is to never remember why you chose it. Know your why. Know mm-hmm. why you do so that what you do is great.
Yeah. So don't mm-hmm. forget that why.
Don't forget that why. Stay connected to your purpose. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, it's a pep talk I give myself on many occasions as well. You know, yeah. know your why, know your purpose, because if you know why you do what you do, what you do is so much better for people. I also tell them, and this goes back to personal brand, that we are only as good as we are consistent. Because people will always know what you do great, but they'll remember what you didn't.
Yes.
You know, the perception tends to be off of that worst day. So we have to make our worst day one of the best they remember, because our worst isn't what theirs would be. Hmm. It just is what it is. We're yeah. only as good as we are consistent. There is no room for weaklings.
Yeah.
There, you know, when you think about the margin of error in people's jobs, think about what that would be for a nurse.
It's a pretty large margin.
Well, it has to be a small one, right?
It has to be a zero margin.
Well, no, but like the risk factor,
yeah. mm-hmm.
it's not just I made a mistake and I'm really sorry, right. but boss, can you fix it? No.
And people make mistakes. We're humans. We own our errors. We are what we are. We're each only humans
right.
at the end of the day. But our, you know, they're held to a really high standard. Mm-hmm. Not just by me. I mean, I have really high standards for people. But our patients, you know, I give people margins of error because we're all humans. I make errors too. But our patients, you know, when you show up to a hospital, you're looking for what you want, when you want it, how mm-hmm. you need it. And you're not like, okay, well, for that hour today, you can not do a right. good job because sure. I'll be okay. No, yeah. No.
Well, and you're putting, as a patient, complete trust.
Absolutely.
Like, you're, I mean, about as vulnerable as
I mean, you're wearing mesh underwear.
Right? You're wearing mesh underwear after you have a baby.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no more.
And you're letting her help you put it on.
Yep.
You're letting the nurse help
the
you put it on.
The most vulnerable you will ever be is after you have a child.
Right.
I mean, in that mesh underwear.
It's
and that
so
nurse
crazy.
Is with you in the bathroom. And, like, you've never had a more intimate relationship with someone you just met.
Never.
I mean, maybe you did back in college, but that's not the kind of relationship I'm talking about. Totally different relationship. Not nearly as exciting. But I digress. What I'm trying to say mm-hmm. is that these nurses are just essential
because
to everyday
you
life.
Do. When you're a patient, you trust them explicitly. Like, hi, my name is Sarah. Boom, done. We're in a trusting relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean, in what other, that doesn't happen in
no.
any other realm.
No, that's what I mean. That's why it's like they are like amazing, amazing humans because they take that trust and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. And I think about, I've only been a patient, thank goodness, when I've had babies too. And I can remember their names and like, yeah, you can do whatever you want because I believe you that you're supposed to.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I got the opportunity to become a boss at a place where I had my babies of the people who do that type of nursing.
Yeah.
And so it was funny to meet them on the other side and still just be so incredibly proud of them. But, yeah, you trust them right away.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, you want to help me put on that underwear? Let's do it.
Let's do it, girl.
Yeah.
I know. And
it's so
and
crazy.
They understand and they make you feel better. And,
right.
And you talk about seeing me on the other side. So I was a teacher for 10 years, right? So it was always weird for my students to see me outside of school. Like, I think they thought I lived there, even though I taught high schoolers, right? To see if I would see them somewhere, like at a restaurant, if I was with my kids, they would be like, oh, yeah, there's Mrs. Carlin.
Right.
And it's just, well, I'll never forget that nurse I had with my first baby. About a week later, I'm out and I see her at Target and I swear to God, I ran up to her and gave her a hug. And she was probably like, who are you? And I was like, do you remember? Like, I was so excited to see her because we just had this moment for me, which she's had thousands of times
right.
by now in her life. And it was just this, like, it was weird to see her on the other side, but it was like just...
Yep.
Had to hug her.
It's so reassuring. I remember when I worked in the ICU, you know, seeing somebody at the mall who was like, Sarah, you took care of my grandma. And I'm like, yeah. Go to question. How is she? Well, you know what? She passed. I'm like, oh God,
right.
I'm so sorry.
Right.
Totally remember you.
I know.
Yeah, I know. But it is. It's such a great opportunity to walk with people, you know, at all these moments in their life. And yeah, it's special. So my go-to message is always remember the why, because it's that specialness. Like to hear you say that as a patient, it's like, yes, we delivered. Like, those nurses are amazing.
Yeah.
And
that was at your hospital.
Yeah.
So you did totally deliver.
You know, it's like totally deliver.
Like, literally.
Right. Like, actually. So it's like, I want those nurses to always be that story.
Yeah.
You know? And so even on their worst day, it's like, you got to somehow figure out how that doesn't pass the door to the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to say nursing is a female-dominated
field. It's a lot
field.
Of ladies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are there challenges with that, or how does one navigate that? Is it different than any other field because of that?
Well, I wouldn't know.
Right.
We do have male nurses. We finally refer to them as MRSAs, and they're amazing, right? They're so great because they don't get into the drama of all female work environments.
Sure.
So I love it. They're so great. I'm sure there are challenges that if I had worked elsewhere and then came into, you know, 99% female, I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Like, it's just there's a lot of ladies. And so it can get dramatic at times. It can get all the more reason to be candid, to be like, hey, like, cut the shit. Like, we're not going to talk about that right now.
Right.
It really
yeah.
doesn't matter to anybody. But a lot of warm and fuzzy to go around.
Mm-hmm.
And so you gotta make sure you hone that in the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because if you're not candid, it gives a lot of room to read between the lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or think you are, or try to, or she said this, but I think she meant this.
Mm-hmm. That is a great
no,
point.
No, I didn't,
I
mean,
didn't
that.
Mean that.
I meant what I said. So.
Right. Yeah, if you don't tell them, a lot of times they'll make up a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any field, I'm sure people can
make
up really great stories. So I try to give them the story up front. My best, like, I love when I, like, come around a corner and hear people like, well, Sarah said, and I'm like, no, she didn't. She did not say that. She didn't say that, and she didn't say it the way you said it, for sure.
She did not move her head like that when she said it.
She did not, like, wave her finger around and be like, Sarah said, no, Sarah. Sometimes I'm like, Sarah would never, ever say that, first of all. Second of all, ask her. Here she is. What do you want to know?
Right.
But, yeah, I love that. Well, Sarah said, mm-mm. No, she probably didn't.
I don't think Sarah said that.
I don't think so. Because you have that reputation.
Right.
So the consistency you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. People know what to expect of you.
Oh, yeah.
So when those crazy, like, well, Sarah said this, everyone else probably most people tilts are like, their head like, no. That doesn't sound like her.
Sarah probably didn't say that. I've been doing, like, a weekly newsletter for what feels like my entire natural life. Even no matter what rank I've been in or role I've been at the hospital, I continue to do it so that people – I'm always like, if Sarah said it, she probably put it in print somewhere. So start to dig through your emails. Mm-hmm. But my new thing is going to be a video blog. So I just sent a video out today because the hospital's been super duper busy because lots of people are sick. And I got to help buy everybody pizza, like the whole house pizza yesterday for days and nights. But I wanted to send just like a personal thank you. And as you can imagine, I can't like personally thank all of our people. So made a quick little video to send to people. So now they'll actually hear Sarah say shit. It's like going to be the best. I'm super excited about it. I sent it to one of our nurses today because she's super candid too. And I'm like, hey, can you tell me if I look really ridiculous? Because I'll do it like 100 times before I'm like, do you get my message? Is it okay? Are people going to think this is stupid? And she texts back. She's like, no, I thought that was great. So I sent her one of the outtakes because, like, I'm trying to do this video. I'm trying to be all serious and, like, say my thing. My phone's ringing. Text messages are going off. And I never hit stop. So my face is all like, oh, damn phone. Oh, who's texting me now? So I sent her my outtake. She was like, you should send that to everybody. I'm like, oh, hell no. No, I'm going to send them the nice little edited, like, thank you so much for all you do. No, I can't send them the outtakes. But,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have some fun with outtakes.
We do.
Yeah.
It's but hysterical.
It is. We had some outtakes in a video yesterday.
We did.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, a little less life-threatening of an environment.
You got to know your audience, know the message. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
I always live by two, like, with that many people, like, 20% of people are going to be like, I'm not watching her talk in a video.
Mm-hmm.
Same people who are not reading my emails, mm-hmm. like, that's totally fine. 20% of people are not going to dig this. I got that. But for, you know, if you can reach even just 10% out of 1,100 people, the message will somehow spread. They'll say, well, Sarah said.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And some of them will get it right. So I'll just try to communicate every way I can. Our millennials like things different than our well-seasoned folks. So trying to meet people where they're at with communication these days.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a bit of a challenge with 1,100 people spanning all generations.
It's a lot of peeps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of generations. Mm-hmm.
That are busy. It's not even, I mean, communicating on a regular basis with someone that's behind mm-hmm. a desk is one thing.
Right.
But to a workforce that is mobile and in the moment mm-hmm. and reactive.
Yep.
That's entirely different.
Yep. I can't expect that every day they work, they're going to check their email.
Right.
I'm hoping for once a month and they get the highlights. So
I realize how dumb this is going to sound before I even say it. How do nurses check their email? Is it all on their phones or is there computers that they...
Computers.
Like, okay.
All their documentation is computerized. So, okay. I mean, there's a plethora of devices.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because I know, like, at the doctors, you know, they have those computers that, like, roll off the wall.
That's the same thing.
So that's what, okay.
We actually have computers on, like, a wheeled cart so they can just drag it with them everywhere they go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Always attached. But they can probably get email on their phone if they want, but they don't have to. It's okay.
That's a good question.
I'm sitting here, I'm like, do they have their own laptops? Like, how does this work?
Isn't it crazy? Because I can't imagine not having email on my phone. Could you even imagine? Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine.
No.
And so they probably have like their home email, you know, their personal email addresses on their phones, but not their work email. So.
Mm. So what do you want people to take from this if they are thinking about going into the nursing field? Like, maybe they haven't had their moment, but maybe they've stayed at home with their kids for the last 5 years and they're thinking about a second career. Or we have some young kids. We have some of my former students, too, listening to this podcast. what about they're thinking about jumping into the nursing field? What do you want to tell them or what do you want them to get out of this?
it is a special opportunity. I mean, certainly we have all types, people who went into this field for all types of reasons. People like me who had like this strange divine moment, right? I realize that might be rare. People who wanted to be nurses their whole childhood. People who, you know, had, it's their second career to be a nurse. People who just had that as a goal. So no matter where you're coming from walks of life, you can serve people in the best way ever. There is no short of hundreds of different types of nursing. Even just in my, you know, the organization I work in, there are literally hundreds of different things nurses can do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to work at the bedside, you can work at the bedside in 50 different ways. You want to work behind a desk, you can work behind a desk. You want to work with insurance companies, you can. You want to answer phones for triage, you can. You know, I mean, there are just so many different opportunities. So I would say everybody knows by 10 degrees of separation a nurse somehow. Ask questions. That's my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. Ask questions. Never stop learning. Pursue it. Ask somebody. And then dig in with both feet. Jump in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And try it out.
Try it out.
And see what you like. Obviously, yeah. Since there's so many different varieties, mm-hmm. You're bound to find something that you want.
Yep.
And they're in demand.
Absolutely.
So that's another great reason why you might want to join that field, because they need you.
And you'll always be wanted.
And you'll always be paid.
Always.
I had no idea that there was that many different varieties of nurses. Oh, yeah. I'm learning so much.
Yeah.
How nurses check email, but there is a ton of different options.
Tons.
It's safe to say you and I do not have a background in the medical field.
We do not. Oh, I actually was recently first aid and CPR certified.
Yes, you were.
There you go.
Yep.
You're one step away.
I had to turn my face away from the video a handful of times because I was getting nauseous, particularly on the section of how to deal with, like, animal bites, and they show snakes. It's really gross.
Ew.
Yeah.
One time I learned CPR because I was a lifeguard, and then I forgot CPR halfway through the season. Never told anybody.
I mean, you're interesting.
I swear to God, I just sat up in my lifeguard chair thinking, Jesus, please don't let anybody drown, because I can't remember if it's 10 and 2 or like the 15, or I don't remember how many. I know I got to blow in their mouth and like press on their chest. I can't remember how many times. Just
30.
So I was just like super vigilant.
The answer is 30.
You would totally, it would come back to you in all that adrenaline.
Nope, it certainly would not.
Well, actually,
I do not have confidence in that.
So I had to take this specifically for Girls on the Run. So like, you know, third graders.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tailored some of the certification to that age group, which I think they had really good intention. Like, this is real for you ladies in this session. But it was terrifying because I'm literally imagining a third grader like not breathing on the ground.
Sure.
So on one hand, it did make me take it very seriously. So
yeah.
I guess that was achieved.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, like, oh my gosh, like I have not sweat so much in the middle of winter. Like imagining having to do this on a third grader. Like, can you even? I can't even.
No, I really hope there's a nurse close by.
Me too. I can scream.
We should start to travel with nurses. There should be an app.
Sarah,
that says,
can you come on the road with us?
You know what's funny? I had my first, I was traveling for work, and I had my an ER director and a psych director with me. We're up in a plane, and we hear the dreaded tones. And if there's any nurse on board, please go to the back of the plane immediately. And I was like, didn't hear that. That's not happening.
That's not
right?
For me.
So I look over at my ER director, and she's like shaking her head, like, mm-mm. And so then I hear it again, and I hear, you know, people start to like rush around. We're in a plane, and I'm like, So then I'm like, I'm a nurse, and I'm like, and she's a nurse, and she's an ER nurse, so like she's actually gonna help save you, and I'm just gonna like supervise. So I'm like, come on. So we go to the back. This lady is gray and sweaty, and her heart rate is way down. I'm like, oh my God. Next thing I know, we're wedged in like that little aisle of the plane, her head in my lap, her feet up on this other director's shoulders. We have the AED, we have oxygen. They're like, let's put an IV in. I'm like, what? We're not doing those things. I'm like, she's going to be fine. And they're like, well, we're talking to the doctor on the ground, and he's wondering if we need to make an emergent landing. I'm like, emergent landing? No, we're going to make it. Between her and I, we're going to make it. Like, how much longer do we have? They're like 2 hours. I was like, oh, shit. That's a long time. I'm like late. We're like, okay,
You're going to be fine. Deep breath. In and out. In and out. In and out.
And she was fine.
She made it.
Yeah.
We didn't. I was like, we are not emergently landing. I don't know what that means, but it's not happening to us.
No.
No, not to
me. I mean, we don't know how she is now, but she was totally made it.
She was like, she walked off the plane later. Yeah. It was, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, see, 24/7.
Yeah.
You can't even go in an airplane.
Can't even fly somewhere. Oh, I was like, oh, my God. Oh, it was so stressful.
Marketing and PR seems so easy.
And oh, sweaty. Totally.
It was hot and sweaty there.
I will, I mean, crisis communication is a for real thing. However, nothing compared to what you just described.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of crazy. That's never happened to me before.
It's all about perspective.
I've never been in a public place where they're like, we need a nurse. That's like you see on TV.
Yeah.
This is the first time that ever happened to me.
But you responded.
Yeah. My ER director was like, I don't think I can travel with you anymore.
Us communicators would be like shrinking down in our seats.
please let there be a nurse.
I can make your Facebook post look great. But about
now,
this incident,
we can spin this like nobody's business.
This isn't a crisis.
This is not a crisis. In fact, this is going to be a triumphant story about how we have the best passengers.
Right. Yep. This is going to be on Ellen.
So funny. But that's now when they're like, "Does anybody on board know CPR?" You're going to be like,
"Oh,
I do."
You sure? Now you're going to have to raise that hand, girl.
It's all you.
Hmm.
There's probably lots of other people in the plane that
there probably is, but they talk about that. They talk about that it's always the diffusion of responsibility. If no one raises their hand, everyone assumes the person next to them is going to raise their
hand.
That's
true.
Well, now I feel just the weight of the world on my shoulders.
Well, you
you're welcome. You're
a natural born leader. You know you would step
you got
up.
This.
I would.
You got
actually.
This. Yeah. There actually was. So there's three of us nurses. There was a physician of some sort who proved to not be helpful, and we ended up being like, ma'am, I think you could take your seat probably.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah.
Just like those doctors to come in and be like, oh, I'll take care of it.
She was like, let's put an IV in, let's grab some fluids, and we were like, no, we're not going to do those things.
No, let's let the nurses do the work.
We're like, do you want me to move out of the aisle so you could go back? Like, you're good.
We got this.
We're like totally fine.
I seriously love how badass nurses are.
Right.
And how they're like to the doctors like, okay, let's just humor them.
Like, okay. And you know what? I know some amazing, amazing doctors, but they would laugh at that too probably. You know, we always say like, I mean, there is so much schooling. Knowledge is power. I'm here for you. Physicians are amazing.
Yes.
And I don't want their job ever, not for a day.
Well, they have ultimate responsibility at the end of the
day.
Right.
Could you imagine the weight?
No.
My God. No way. But nurses sit at that bedside for 12 hours a day.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But they need each other. That's the interesting thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So teamwork makes the dream work.
That's right.
Right.
All right. Well, we always end our segment, and our ratio of remembering to give guests a...
But Sarah listens to our
podcast.
I've
been a listener.
Oh!
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. She's super ready.
I don't want... You can go first, but I'm like totally ready
over here.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't even have to say it. Like, you knew what I was going to say.
She does.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, we're becoming some people. Like,
you
our
are.
Guests know.
You're totally legit. Yeah. You're totally legit. So,
if Sarah says it, then it's real.
Right?
She's a boss.
Yeah, like she wouldn't lie to us.
No.
I would be
She's
like.
She's candid.
I would tell you, like, it's not legit. Nobody knows you yet, but, like, you're totally legit.
Yeah. People give us wine and they call us legit.
Yeah.
See?
We are moving on up in the world. So, my social share this week, I actually just saw it this morning and I thought it was hilarious. And I was going to share it. And I was like, no, I'll leave it. I'll wait. So. I kind of have two. All right. So my first one comes from Scary Mommy. And it says, I don't get the expression, the strength of 10 men. Just let one mom do it. She'll have that shit done by lunch.
That's awesome.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So true.
So true.
Moms are the original, what's that word called when you can do a lot of things at once?
Multitasking.
Yeah, that right there.
Yep.
Okay. I'll save my next one, so go ahead.
So mine is actually of someone that we both know quite well. Our good friend Nate Springer.
Oh.
He is the Mr. Golf, okay? And every Thursday, ironically, we come here and record, and Nate posts a trick shot Thursday where he hits a golf ball into some like obscure solo cup someplace. And I actually look forward to what is his trick going to be this Thursday. So I was talking to him about it today. Like, what's the trick going to be? What's the trick going to be? So he's my social share because I stalk his Instagram waiting to see. And today, in case you're curious, so by the time you hear this episode, this will be like two tricks ago. But, you know, he actually hits it up like 10 feet in the air into a solo cup. It's amazing.
How many times does he have to do it?
Well, that's the beauty of editing.
Right.
No one will know.
I know. I just always wondered.
I did find out today, asking some probing questions, that he does not record these trick shots on Thursdays. They take forethought. He sometimes does them over the weekend. Mm. He puts some planning in. And actually, I think that his wife, Jess, is probably the planner, but could be wrong.
Yeah. So. I've met Nate. In fact, we sit 5 feet from each other every day. He's a planner. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
So.
So mine is, and I didn't share it on my social media, but I showed this at work recently, and it is about that knowing your purpose. So Michael Jr., the comedian, has a YouTube out there. Everyone should watch it. It is about knowing your why. So he's hysterical, but he has a crowd of people. He does like stand-up comedy, so he has a crowd of people, and he asks someone in the audience who is a musical director, and he's like, so you're a musical director. Go ahead and sing Amazing Grace for me. The guy sings it, and he's like, okay, so now I want you to pretend your uncle's brother got shot in an accident. He just got out of prison. I want you to give me the hood version. Sing me Amazing Grace again. And the man brings the house down. And he said, because when you know why you do something, you do it so much better. You got to stay connected.
So good.
Everybody has to watch this video. I use it when I teach the Know Your Why class on the how to stay connected to your purpose.
Good. Will you message it to me and I'll share it on our
page? I totally will. It's so amazing. So best video ever.
Oh.
I can't wait to watch that.
Me neither.
It's good stuff.
You're good at what you do, Miss Sarah P.
Thanks. I love it. It makes it easy.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
And thanks, listeners. We will see you next week.
We will. Hey, and before we see you next week, if you think about it, give us
homework.
A share.
Homework.
Yeah,
you got homework.
Give us a share, subscribe, like, comment.
Maybe a rating.
A rating would be fantastic.
If it's 5 stars.
Right. Don't give us anything less than 5. If you got something less than 5, get out of here.
Yep.
Seriously.
If you have constructive criticism, we will take it. Send us a private message.
Yes, thank you. That we would appreciate. And we do appreciate you, our listeners.
Yes,
so
we do.
Thanks for joining us every Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Kaylee Gaines, and all views and opinions expressed on the shows are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Kaylee on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. And you can also send the show an email to letschat@HIHpod.com. Feel free to write into the ladies if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. If you've got a question, comment, or to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all we have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for our next episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.